Today's reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 68 through 79. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins, by the tender mercy of our God. The dawn from on high will break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Send your word, O Lord, like the rain falling down upon the earth. Send your word, O Lord, like the rain falling down upon the earth.
You may be seated. It was about 7.5 years ago now, Associate Pastor Denise Mullaney organized a women's retreat for our church. About a dozen or so of us, I think, went to this beautiful bed and breakfast over in Vincent on a Friday afternoon to begin our time together. It was going to be a little less than 24 hours. And as we were finishing dinner that evening, Pastor Denise was explaining how the rest of the night and the next day were going to go, including the fact that after a Vespers service that evening, we were going to enter into our silent time, which was not going to be broken until lunch the following day. I will never, ever forget the look on one of our church members' faces. She was shocked to hear that we were going to spend most of our time together in silence. One of our more extroverted members, who had signed up for the retreat so that she could get to know some of these other women in the church, was appalled that she was going to have to be silent. I don't know how she missed it. It was heavily publicized that this was a silent retreat, but there we were. And I remember how hard it was for her, this silence. I shared a room with her that weekend. We had just left the Vespers service. We had just entered into our time of silence, and she walked into the room and started talking. It was difficult. But by the end of our silent time the next day, she and I and everyone there had been profoundly impacted by the time that we had spent together without words. Now, I mention this morning because the scripture that we hear today captures the first words the priest Zechariah had spoken, not just in hours, but in months. Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, had been told by an angel that he and his wife Elizabeth were finally going to become parents. And the angel Gabriel was not really very pleased with Zechariah's incredulous response to the news, so he struck him mute until the baby was born. It does seem a little unfair, this angelic punishment of Zechariah, given that that very same angel did not similarly punish Mary when she too was a little puzzled by the news laid upon her, telling her that she would give birth to the Son of God. But as the Reverend Dr. Randall Mixon put it, maybe the angel felt like a man of Zechariah's years and stature should be a little more prepared for such visitations than a lowly peasant girl like Mary. So Zechariah, you see, found himself with a lot of time to sit and think, to watch what the angel promised unfold before him, and to listen to what God and some women around him had to say. So in today's scripture, we find months later, Zechariah, with the whole community gathered around him and his family after baby John is born. Maybe he takes a cue from Mary. Mary, who had visited with Elizabeth during both of the women's pregnancies, she had a song to sing as well. A song about everything that God was doing in the world. Maybe that's what inspired Zechariah too, to break out into song when he has words again. Like Mary before him, Zechariah reflects on all that God has done and uses all of those past faithful responses to his people as the basis for predicting what God will do. In fact, though, if you look at the words of Zechariah, you'll see that just like Mary before him, he seems to have his verb tenses all messed up. Barbara Brown Taylor observes that prophets, which is what Mary and Zechariah are in these moments, filled with the words of the Holy Spirit, she says prophets almost never get their verb tenses straight because part of the gift of a prophet is being able to see the world as God sees it. And it is not divided into things that are already over and things that have not yet happened, but instead they see the world as an eternally unfolding mystery that surprises everyone. What does Zechariah come out of his forced silence singing about, hoping for? Rescue from enemies. And not just rescue and salvation, but rescue such that he and all the people could serve the Lord without fear in holiness and righteousness all the days of their lives. Zechariah and Elizabeth were upright and faithful people who had endured many years of waiting and public humiliation as they remained childless into their old age. Zechariah was maybe a little grumpy and unbelieving when Gabriel told him that God was answering their prayers and that their child would be filled with the Holy Spirit from the beginning and was destined to prepare the way for the Lord. This Zechariah comes out of his silence, his time of pondering, his time of observing all that the Lord was doing. He comes out of his silence worshiping God, thankful for the salvation of the people, and thankful for the role that God had given him and his family in God's story. At the end of that silent time, at that women's retreat several years ago, now I can't speak for my roommate, who wasn't expecting the silence, but I can speak for myself about that experience. When we were allowed to speak again, I was not sure I wanted to. I found that the quiet time among my sisters in Christ was profoundly moving. And for reasons I can't really explain, also tremendously humbling. I came out of that time of silence having observed myself more closely than I ever had and fully aware of my need for God. But I also came out of that time of silence knowing that he was there, just as he had always been. And knowing that I and all of my sisters and all of my brothers in Christ had a part to play in God's story, a part that we are all to pursue without fear, in holiness and righteousness, all the days of our lives. Now, this morning, I'd like to do something a little different. In honor of the power of silence, before we move into our communion liturgy today, I want us to take a few moments of silence, a few moments to meditate on what God has done, is doing, and will do, as well as what is your part in God's story. And in recognition of today being Christ the King Sunday, I invite us all to begin this time of meditation with this short prayer. My Lord, King of my life, I crown you now. May all glory be yours. So before we enter into that time of silence, will you repeat those words after me? My Lord, King of my life, I crown you now. May all glory be yours. Our Lord, King of our lives, we crown you now. May all glory be yours. Thank you for all that you have done for us, and thank you for allowing us to be part of your story. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.